quack, 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 quack,
and welcome back to a very special episode of D5, the Mighty Ducks, the show where we looked back at the entire Mighty Ducks trilogy 5 minutes at a time. But today, we are here one more time doing another MMX at Home special, because if last year's wasn't good enough, we're doing it one more time. But I am not alone. Someone who had literally been here this entire run, every season, every special, she just comes on the show. Our super mega all-star. I'm running out of adjectives. It is Tierney Callahan. Tierney, welcome back to the show.
If little fifth grade Tierney could see me, a little fifth grade Tierney dancing to Whoop There It Is in her elementary school gym, only knew that someday this movie series would change her life that way.
So yes, here we are. We are here to talk about the television series, which I was not planning on doing. I really was not planning on covering the TV series at all. As a matter of fact, I'm going to shout somebody out here. Dave Pallas, who is an episode, has aired as of recording it, but when people hear this, he's on one of the last episodes of the season. He went and said, do not squash the idea of doing the TV series because of Cobra Kai. Do not. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Well, here we are. We're doing an episode. And as I said, we're part of MMX at Home 2021. Hopefully next year, we're not doing a third one of these. I really do hope we're in Philly next year. So
we'll find some wood to knock on. All listeners.
Whole table. Ready to go. Anyway, so here we are. We are talking about Mighty Ducks Game Changers. And before we get to this, we are actually covering the episode called Spirit of the Ducks, which was directed by Stephen Brill, written by Tom Lennon, and it was aired on Disney Plus on April 30th, 2021. Before we get into the description of the episode and we get into the show, what did you think of Game Changers as a series?
Well, I have seen up through this episode, so I have not watched ahead. I am very pleasantly surprised. I was planning to watch it anyway. I really like Lauren Graham.
Yes.
One of the things I actually thought specifically in this episode is it's very refreshing to see her play a single mom who isn't a caricature the way she was as Lorelai in Gilmore Girls, which don't get me wrong. I watch the times. Sorry, did I glitch? Gilmore Girls was like, the joke was, oh, she's the flighty, she and her daughter are like sister, you know, and this is, it's just nice to see her. Like, no, she's a single mom doing her job, running the hockey team, whatever. And I don't even mind the will they, won't they dynamic that they're setting up between her and Gordon Bombay. I think they're doing it pretty well. The mom skills episode.
Yes.
That was amazing. I did not know how much I needed to see Emilio Estevez hold up a piece of pie and whisper pecan pie like across the ice.
We were rooting it on. Like, Mandy called it, because we and Mandy watched it. Okay, but say, me and Mandy, my wife, watched every episode together as they were airing. We watched every episode every Friday. And it was this show was so much fun. And we were rooting it on. Like, Mandy even called it and we still rooted it on. Like, we knew what was coming.
Yes.
It was so awesome.
That is something that on the page does not. And that was the same episode with the Coop sleepover, which I love. So that was a great episode. I was a little frustrated, and it came up in this episode, The Spirit of the Ducks, because the show really wants to have it both ways. It wants to redo the Gordon Bombay hates hockey and kids dynamic.
Right.
And it's like, but guys, you did 3 movies getting past that. And something happened in this episode. There was a throwaway line that really bugged me. where I was just like, guys, do people know who Gordon is or not?
I know.
The Minnesota Miracle Man has just been completely forgotten conveniently. it's strange sometimes.
It's kind of like it's been 15 years since the third movie. 15 years, which is insane when you think about it. 15 years. And we're picking up. And I can understand Gordon being like...
It is not that long a time period. I'm sorry. The kids don't know who he is, but...
Yeah. I can see where Gordon left the Ducks. I can understand that logic. I can understand him hating the universe that the Ducks are in. I can understand that completely because as I joked in the pilot to someone that's watching the show, the Ducks have turned into the Hawks. They turn into. So, yes. And I don't know if I like that or not, but it's what it is. And the Ducks turn into the Hawks. And the fact that Gordon is there, it's like he was hidden in the back of his ice rink for no reason for the last decade and nobody knew he was there. Nobody checked on him. Nobody cared. Like, it's weird to me.
That was the most, and I'm sorry, I know you're gonna like do what the episode was about, but that was the one thing that really bothered me with this, where it's like, you understand how some people could, people lose touch. It happens.
All the time.
And he kind of didn't want to be found, so fine. But I hate how, like in a previous episode, Stephanie, the boss, basically was like, who's Gordon Bombay? I have no idea what you're talking about. But she's organizing the Mighty Ducks 25th anniversary gala. So, like, she knows who Gordon Bombay is. Like,
I agree. It's ridiculous. Oh, I could almost go with the fact that I don't know who he is because I don't want to talk about him. Because we don't recognize him, but it's part of the history. But I know he is, but I don't want to recognize him. Like, I could see that being a thing, you know, like 100%.
That's totally legit.
Like, he's that kind of
actor. I really want there to have been. Yes. I want there to have been a video because no kids had their phones out recording it 15 years ago, sort of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But like the idea that he and Alex work together because they both have the same attitude.
Well, let's get into this. Before we get into the episode, what do you think of the Don't Bothers as a team name? I thought that was weird. And then I got used to it after like 3 episodes. I got used to it. It was weird. I don't know how to expect it. I'll explain it.
I got used to it very quickly. Right. That's the Ducks coach. But the coach of the Ducks, when she says, we're the Don't Bothers, and it's such a moment, he goes, are you sure you want to go with that? Like, it was just such a great delivery of that. Like, lady, you're going to regret this in the morning. Like, I love the way this show constantly undercuts its own big moments. It makes me laugh every time.
It's well written. Like, it's so well written. And it's like, did you watch the Saved by the Bell reimagining on Peacock?
No, what was the question? Because
do you happen to see the Saved by the Bell reimagining on Peacock?
Okay, no, I totally missed the Saved by the Bell part. I'm glad I asked. No, I did not.
Okay, Saved by the Bell, the Peacock thing, did the exact same thing this show did, where it made fun of itself in the middle of making fun of itself. Like, I think they did a lot. They did that a lot in that series, which is why we enjoyed it so much. Because they're literally making fun of the old show while making jokes in this show about making fun of it. Like, it was so, like, fourth wall breaking. It was amazing. Like, that's what made this funny, too. So.
Yeah. I would have really enjoyed seeing Averman talking to Nick Gantz and Gordon, like, running over and be like, get those two away from each other.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Other or something like that. Like, his spiel.
That's very funny. So, all right, this episode occurs, it's called Spirit of the Ducks. And the thank you to Disney Wikipedia that gave me a nice short summary, because the one on Wikipedia spoiled the entire thing. So I didn't want to do that. So let's do the short version. With the original Ducks back in town, Evan and Bombay each consider where their loyalties lie. Straightforward, to the point. And if you watch the show, you understand. You understand it. By the way, the kid they casted for Evan is brilliant. Like, he is brilliant. And I've never heard of him before the show. I feel like I've seen him forever, but he hasn't done anything before this. So he is brilliant at this.
He was really good in this episode. The whole, when he goes to his mom, is like, "You always tell me what to do. This is the hardest decision I've ever had to make."
So, okay. We start off with the continuation of last episode, which is pretty much Evan going back to the Ducks because, okay, I'm still trying to figure out, why did he go for this meeting with the coach? He's not on this team. He should know something's up. Why did he go? I don't understand the point why he did this. Like you said, the coach for the Ducks is fantastic. He is so funny. He has his moments. His dry sense of humor is so ridiculous.
It's killing my husband because he's on Letterkenny as a hockey nut, but a totally different persona, I guess. I haven't watched it, but apparently it is like killing my husband, who does watch both shows.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. So he's brilliant here. So we have this whole conversation where you can say, so how do you feel about the Ducks being the bad guys in this show? The actual bad guys are the Ducks, the title of the show. Like, how do you feel about that?
I don't, well, like, the Ducks were built into this winning team, became the team that everyone wanted to be on, and now, 2 decades later, they are the powerhouse. Or 15 years after the original one. But, you know, couple decades later. And that makes sense. Like, that does happen. I think one of the weird things is that because the show tries to have it both ways, the original Ducks come back and none of them have any idea this has happened. What is it? Adam, when they walk in, he goes, "The Ducks have become cake eaters." Like, that was a great moment. But Fulton lives here. None of these people have come back. I mean, they.
In a way. Okay. This is coming from the small town.
I don't mind the Ducks being, everyone just woke up in 2021.
Well, I can almost understand it. Because, like, I grew up in a small town. But if I play football. But the thing is, even if you're living there, you're not, like, paying attention to the sports world in your hometown unless you have a kid that's playing. You're not really paying attention. So you may not be paying attention. You may not be knowing what's going on. You're like, oh, look, the Ducks are still succeeding. You're seeing them on the back skirts and you're saying, oh, look, they won 10 straight championships or whatever the number was. I'm like, yay, I'm so look for them. Look at them. They're playing fantastic. And not knowing the inside of what's going on. That could be what it is.
Okay.
So that's just how I look at it. You know? But I do love the introductions of the Ducks, because I love the fact that the first person we meet is Fulton. Like, I love the fact that happened. It was such a cool moment because I didn't expect it. Like, I knew what the episode was because it was promoted. Oh. This episode was promoted. It was promoted like crazy by Disney. You knew what this episode was coming in. You knew it's a reunion episode. They wanted people to watch this episode. Like, on the D5 Instagram page, I was putting pictures up from Disney Plus promoting this episode. So, like, everybody knew what was going on. But I did not realize we were literally going to be 3 minutes in and, oh, crap, there's Fulton. Like, whoa. Okay, cool.
And hugging Fulton.
Hugging Fulton. But I love the fact that it started with the glass breaking, just like the first time we met Fulton. Like, I love it. Like, it's like, that's great symmetry. That's awesome symmetry. Like, you knew they had to do that. So, so as we go through the Ducks, I have their Wikipedia pages up. just so we can see what they've been up to since the last time we saw them. But before we do that, I do have Emilio Estevez up here. And a lot of people wondered where he'd been. And honestly, he has not been doing any much acting at all since D3. Like, that's straight up the truth. He went into a directing side of things for the last, 15 years and directed all kinds of movies, television shows, and apparently he did one voiceover dubbing for a English dub for a Japanese anime. But most of the stuff he's been doing has been directing and writing. And even then, he hasn't done anything since 2018. Yeah. 2018 was the last time he did something before this show. So he's been out of the limelight since pretty much 1996 when it came to being in something, which is crazy when you think about it. Thank you. As for Alden Hansen, who is, of course, Fulton. Great to see him. Fantastic to see him. Same thing with him, though. He pops up places. He's he was in She's All That. He was in Dumb and Dumberer and The Butterfly Effect. But he hasn't really been starring in a whole lot except for The Hunger Games. He was in The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 1 and 2.
Who was the guy in Dare?
That was, that's not, he's actually not in here. He was not in this episode. Let me check here. Am I wrong?
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I am wrong. I am wrong. You are right. You are.
I thought he was the guy in Dare. Yeah, okay.
Right. I didn't get
the. He's the avocado at law.
You're right. Foggy Nelson.
Okay.
It's Foggy Nelson. The problem was I was looking at movies. Television. He was Daredevil. Obviously in Daredevil, he was in The Defenders. He was in Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. He was all over the place. But he is, of course, Foggy Nelson. And I should know because everyone brings it up every time they're on the show. Every single person brings it up. I forgot about it because that show's been off of my radar for what? 5 years? I forgot about that. 4 years now since that show's been off. I completely forgot
about it. I worked at a law school library when it was out, and so the avocados at law thing was very dominant in my life that year.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, I did. It wasn't even in my mindset because I completely forgot about that show because it's been a long time since it was on. I forgot about it. But it is cool to know he was the first one here because he didn't actually, I didn't expect him to be in this. I didn't know who was in it. I just saw pictures. I didn't know who was actually in the episode. I was like, oh, people are in this. But I didn't realize that Fulton lived in Minnesota this entire time. So that was cool. That was a cool little thing. And what's fun is that he's still in touch with the other ducks that live here. It's so weird that he's in touch with everybody else but Gordon. But we learned in the season that Gordon really doesn't have a cell phone or any real way to communicate with him at all. So...
Yeah, I could totally see people lost track of him when he was traveling all the time in the minors. And then he just came back and never got in touch with anyone.
I can see that.
Totally.
He became a hermit. So
makes sense.
Yeah. What's funny is that he became a hermit and no one had a problem in this show, but Luke Skywalker becomes a hermit and everyone has a problem with it. I don't understand. I don't get it. Ay, ay, ay. But anyway, we find out, this is where we actually found out about the Mighty Ducks Gala, and that Gordon doesn't remember getting an invitation. And I think it's obvious that this is 100% on purpose because they do not want to remember him, which I guess for the sanctity of the show, that's fine, I guess. I'm not really sure where to stand on this.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I mean... Well, and what's stupid is they had the out of, they didn't know his address and we see Gordon's mail situation and it's bad. So when Stephanie's like, oh, we didn't have his address, that could be legit. And then when Alex says, well, I've got his address, she could hem and haw and be like, well, he was a nice enough guy to go with dinner that one time, but do you really think he fits in with the ducks now? I don't know. It doesn't have to be this grand conspiracy theory to shun Gordon Bombay.
Yeah, it's...
She could be snotty and not have it have been this huge plot to not invite him.
Yeah, I don't know. Is she the one saying not invite him, or was it the other parents or the coaches or everyone else is I don't want to deal with that. I don't know where he is. I don't want to deal with it. So I don't know. I don't know who actually is saying don't invite him. That's the problem. They don't explain that part. like at all.
No.
Like, explain that little plot point. But anyway, the other sub story going on in here is, of course,
But Fulton invites him out for pizza. So that's cool. That works. Yeah.
And we'll get there in a second because I am going through everything in here. But the other sub story of this whole thing is the fact that we have the Ducks trying to recruit one of the Don't Bothers, which is our main character. Like, why are we doing this in the background of this episode? And even then, like you said, you didn't look ahead. You didn't look ahead, obviously. You said you didn't look ahead. My whole issue is it's really not addressed much at all after the beginning of the next episode. It's really It's addressed, but it's not. They move on quick because you realize we're at episode 6 of a 10-episode season. Like, we have to get through things really fast. and the last two episodes are all about, like the big combination of the show. So, like, you really have to get through a lot of story really, really quickly. So that's the problem here.
Yeah. As he points out, if he had just told them, you know, like, it kind of makes sense because in Evan's defense, and he makes the right decision and all that.
Right.
It's not that big a deal. It's a big enough deal to be mad at him, but it's not a big enough deal to, like, shun him forever and not invite him to a gala 25 years later.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. I remember they're teenagers. They're all kids. Kids fight over the dumbest things sometimes. They really do. You know, I've seen it personally. My son and his best friend literally got into a screen match the other day for no real reason. She kicked him and walked out of the house and they apologized 20 minutes later. There was no reason for it at all. Like, there made no sense. So, like,
yeah.
Oh my God. This is normal for kids. So I can see that being an issue. We'll just talk about that before we get back to the duck we care about. Evan obviously went to the practice. He did the practice. I knew something was up when he was being filmed. And then at the end of the episode, when they're showing the footage, I'm like, that's why that was filmed earlier. So they can go on and he can get in trouble with Don't Bothers. But I'm like, I understand them being mad. But again, it's a practice, and he's obviously still on your team. Like, obviously.
I just wanted to, like, not slap Evan, but more like hug Evan and be like, sweetie, they're playing you.
Yeah, it was obvious.
They're playing you so bad, but you are a hopeful child. So, yeah.
Well, also was a, I was promised like a scholarship and I was promised this, that, and the other thing and to help my
mom. No, you definitely were not. That's never going to happen, sweetie.
I know.
That is the grown-up perspective talking, though, 100%.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's like, never mind. So by the way, I do like the fact that his mom found out through, like, he didn't tell her that he went to the practice. It's like, they assumed he's back on the team because he practiced one practice. They assumed he's back on the team. Like, that was never an assumption. Like, that was never a thing. Like, I don't
understand. Yeah. Although, I will say, it was one of the Minneapolis, Minnesota things I picked up on. I was very happy that when Stephanie showed up with all that swag, it was in giant Target bags.
Yes, I got that. I totally got
it. Such a beautiful, like, there are so many wonderful touches throughout the whole thing, not just the TV series, but, like, it really, this franchise is just an ode to the Twin Cities.
Especially because this show was not even filmed in Minnesota. It was filmed in Canada. Like, it was still
They knew Target is that important to the people from
there. Yeah, like, it's impressive that they still does stuff like that despite it, you know? Like,
my only experience with Minnesota is being in Minneapolis for about 72 hours, and I was there with an infant who got a fever. Like, we went to the Hennepin County emergency room.
Wow.
So I had a very different experience. It also was November. I actually contacted the twins and was like, hey, I noticed you guys don't do tours, but, like, any chance? And they're like, no, it's November. Why are you coming here? And it was a work thing that was like, oh, well, I've got the excuse to go. But then, yeah, my kid got sick. And so I just walked the elevated walkways, like, for 8 hours a day to be out of my hotel room.
Wow.
So yeah, I had a very different experience, but I learned about Target big time.
the only time I've been in Minnesota was the Mall of America trip. So I really have a completely different experience.
I did not make it to Mall of America. I did not make it to the diner. Am I bitter? A little bit, but it's my kid, so.
Other way, I do want to the hilariousness of the fact that they actually bought 327 pairs of matching joggers and hoodies for gift bags is the most ridiculous sentence you could possibly say on this show. And I'm saying a lot about this season. Like, I'm saying a lot. Like, wow. I could not believe that sentence. Like, what? But why? Why? Anyway, we are now. And we're going to jump back to our reunion, which we came here for. And is the Twin Cities Slice. Which, is, by the way, it's a real pizzeria that they actually put the storefront up to do the scene, which is really cool. So we enter, and I love the hero shot with Gordon walking in, like, yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool moment. And there's the table. So I guess explain one thing. They had a bigger reunion plan than this. They did have a bigger reunion planned, but obviously COVID affected things. And a lot of people could not make it into Canada. And to do the show. And most of the people in here are based in Canada, which is why we had the people that we have instead of the entire cast, but apparently was the original plan.
Yeah. Well, I read originally, they were going to weave people in. Like Averman was going to work at the school and we would see people throughout the season, which makes so much more sense. I mean, I get it. Minneapolis is a huge city, but like, you know, people, you would see people.
I will also say that based on D2, when we heard everybody's name, everybody in this little group here is from Minneapolis, Minnesota. So really you should be able to get jobs at your, especially if it's like, oh, I can still work at the school. I can do this, that, and everything. I can see that being a thing.
Kenny Wu is here, but whatever. We'll get there.
We are at the reunion. We have a picture on my screen here, I have everyone together, which I gotta admit, I got chills watching this for the first time. Because I was like, we're doing this. This is happening. We're actually doing this. This entire like little season here has led to this moment. It was really cool to see everybody. We have Averman. We have, of course, Kenny Wu, which you made very clear. We have Fulton. We have Julie. And who am I missing here?
Connie, Adam. Not Julie.
What did I say?
You said Julie.
Oh, sorry, I said Connie. I'm sorry. That's okay. I said Connie. Connie Yee and, of course, Adam Banks. This is a fantastic group of ducks we have here. It's a really good group, actually.
Yes.
The one thing, by the way, I have to say that Mandy was so happy to see that Connie and Yee got married.
She was
so happy. It was such a group moment.
She's like, we invited you.
Of course they did. Of course they did. But yeah, it works for me, especially because they were together pretty much the entire like trilogy. We just never really got to talk about it because that's what they did in movies like this back then. You know, that's what they did. But I would also like to shout out to Matt Dougherty, friend of the show, who was on the podcast at the end of season one, who actually was going to come out for season three, but he decided he didn't feel like being retrospective during the pandemic. His words, not mine. So that's why he was not on for season three, even though originally he was planning to come on. But good guy, great guy. He still answers my emails, which is the important part at the end of the day. great person. And I do have everybody up here. Matt Dougherty, as I learned when I did the interview with him, he really has not done a whole lot since the Ducks. He popped up on TV shows. He'll do an episode here, an episode there. But this is really like being Averman is him. Like that's what it is. Like at the end of the day, he's Averman and that's what everyone knows him as. It's the same thing actually with Guy. He didn't do a whole lot. He didn't do a whole lot after the Ducks. I'm looking at Wikipedia. He did like two movies and then the next credit is this. It's really weird how it works.
I'm doing one on American Graffiti and we're going nuts with all these people who were like, they're amazing. What else were they in? And it's like, they became a health insurance management consultant or something, you know, like just totally, you know, got this bit role in this little director was doing in Northern California. And then it ended up being George Lucas, but they didn't care. Oh, come on. You were great.
Of course, again, same thing with Vincent LaRusso from Adam Banks. Didn't do a whole lot after D3. Didn't do a whole lot. The one credit I cracked up at, he's bank robber in a superhero movie in 2008. That's pretty funny. But after 2010, this is his next credit. and the last, and of course, Mark and Maggie Romero, she did a lot. Actually, she pops up a lot of places. Her credit is by far the biggest credit of everybody else.
I love, first of all, I had such a crush on Marguerite Moreau growing up. Even before I realized I had a crush on her, I had a crush on her.
It happened.
So she had a great career. She pops up on things. But what I absolutely love is she is so into this reunion episode.
Yes, she is into it.
Connie is like the most enthusiastic person this whole time. She is so wonderful.
She's so happy to be back.
So heartwarming.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're absolutely right. She is like so happy to be here. And again, I think the whole crew is just happy to be back together. Like they don't do many reunions, and like the Ducks, the Anaheim Ducks, occasionally they'll do something cool, and like once in a blue moon. But like this is such a big deal because it's not just like them being back together; it's the Ducks being back.
I remember. I follow her on Instagram. It must be Instagram, and I hope it's her, and not just like someone pretending to be her. But like she was posting pictures of like how excited she was when they were doing this. So. Yes.
I probably would have taken those pictures and putting them up. I probably would have put pictures from her. It wouldn't surprise me.
So yeah, I was so thrilled that like the person who really made it, like the Mighty Ducks is one of many credits, and so she did not phone it in.
No, it's actually her first couple of credits, and then you continue on. Continue on. By the way, I read Keenan Thompson was asked to come back. He couldn't do it because he was filming Keenan. He showed Keenan. And obviously with the COVID situation, you couldn't like leave the country and come back. But he is booked beyond next season if there is another season, from what I've read. Him and also Joshua Jackson should be on next season.
That was my biggest thing. So one thing that it made me think of, this reunion, but couldn't get everyone, is I watched the Fuller House, which was the reboot of Full House.
I watched it.
And they got everyone except the Olsons. Mary Kate and Ashley were not having it. No, but I really liked the way they handled it. First of all, every so often they'll do a tongue in cheek. Like John Stamos will look at the camera and be like, "We miss you," you know, like, you know.
He did it all the time. Like he would never let it die.
He would not. He was just like, "Really? You can change your mind anytime now. We'll write you in." But I think it might have even been one of the series finales. I really liked the way they incorporated it, where they said, "Okay, Michelle is a famous fashion designer in New York. Other side of the country, she's not coming home often, and there's always some excuse for why she hasn't made it to the big family, whatever it is." Okay, fine. And then there's a episode where DJ, Steph, and Kimmy, who are the three leads for those who did not watch Fuller House, have gone out, you know, mom's night out. We're going crazy. And they come home. They are drunk. They're like carrying their heels.
I remember telling
each other to whisper, but they're really being really loud. And they say, "We're going to call Michelle," air quotes for those listening instead of watching this, and they're like, "Oh, she's not answering," so they leave her a voicemail. And honestly, I swear, like, I cried. It was just so well done of like, this is their sister who they don't see very often, but who is still a part of their lives, and they miss her, and it's, you know, like,
I thought
of that when I got mad at this, because in this reunion, there is a throwaway line about how Charlie basically is mad and hates Gordon Bombay.
Yes. Which is totally unrealistic. Like,
and it drives me insane because we had three movies, the arc of which was Charlie learns to trust and love again.
Yeah. Especially the third one.
The whole point of the third one was that Charlie turns his back on Gordon, says, "You don't care about me." And Gordon says, Yes, I do. And so this is BS. And then I got mad because before I read, and I totally get why Joshua Jackson couldn't do the reunion. You know,
understandable.
Didn't he just have a baby too? I mean, like, there is.
Again, though, you got to remember COVID. The reason is COVID.
Yes.
In the day, it's COVID.
Like, I have no problem with the fact that Joshua Jackson is not in this episode. What pisses me off is how they address it. Because if you want to leave the door open, why don't you have it be that Charlie is, for all intents and purposes, missing too?
Yeah, that makes sense. And you can have someone, you can just give an explanation and move on.
Oh, I had a lot of fun thinking through this because, of course, then I spent my entire afternoon like game planning out what they could have done.
Go for it.
So, option one, Charlie is in the minors. He can't drop everything to come to a party in his hometown.
I like
He's
that.
He's got games.
I like that.
And then they even in the previously on had that line about how Gordon understands Evan's dad because he was in the minors and traveled around. So like, you could bring Gordon and Charlie back together and they could bond, you know, or Charlie could be so fixated on making it to the majors that he, God, I can't even think in hockey terms. Sorry, baseball. But they could even say, you know, like Charlie's lost the soul of the Ducks because he only cares about making it to the big time and Gordon can come and give an inspirational speech or something.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things they could have done.
The other thing they could have done, and it ties into this episode specifically, everyone has lost Charlie. Charlie's mom has moved. No one was keeping track. Everyone thought like he and Gordon would still be in touch, but Gordon has lost, you know, and so they realize now no one knows where Charlie is. And then you could have episodes where Gordon is trying to find Charlie. He can visit people.
In the background, you could just have a little sad story going on in the background for the rest of the season.
And do you know where Charlie now? Yes. And then you have it turn out where he's like, oh my God, I've lost that. You know, she moved, he moved. I can't find them. And then we have the checkmates see a picture of Charlie Conway and they start babbling excitedly in Czech and no one can understand them. And it turns out Charlie Conway is the star of European hockey. Who taught them to skate and gave them the heart of a duck.
That's fantastic. I love it.
I need Charlie to be like the stud of Slovakia right now.
Fantastic. Oh my God. That's great. I never even thought of that. Oh my God. That's amazing.
Introduce children from the chat. Why would you not tie in the fact that, and I got really excited because so I am Slovakian. We don't get a lot of attention because Czech got all the good towns in the breakup, basically. and so I got so excited. And like, that gives these kids something to do, like a reason to be there.
Right. That makes sense. I like that though. I really like that a lot.
I want it to be that Charlie moved and is like, he's a star there, but like, who knows until they come over to the NHL, who knows who any of these people are?
Exactly.
A few Russians at the Olympics every year, that's the only names you ever see. True. So he could be there and no one would know.
Exactly. And you could pronounce his name differently because it's a different country. There you go.
Well, I also totally want it to be that he, like, you know, married, kids, happy, the whole nine yards. So yeah.
So by the way, I have a pause on my screen here. You're going off on the Charlie thing. And we missed one important detail with Connie that we have to mention. Minnesota State Senator Connie Murrow. That is a great line. I was like, of course Connie would go over the top and be amazing. This is straight up amazing. Oh, that made it for me. I didn't expect that. And that was awesome. And
we named a kid after him.
Seven kids. Like, you have seven kids. Like, what? I'm just using the logic on how she became senator while pregnant and having seven kids. Like,
oh, so that's another thing. So the Czechoslovakian thing came up, and also my in-law, so she's not a senator. She is a state senator. It's a totally different thing.
Got it. Okay.
And I know this because my in-law, Ben, I don't know when this is airing, but Ben Downing, was state senator when I met him, and he became part of the family, and he is now running for governor of Massachusetts. Wow. So
okay.
They can still do a lot of exciting stuff with Connie, but it is different. Yeah, they're not like taking away anything from actual Minnesota senators.
Did not know that. It's still pretty cool though. So anyway, this is, we find out that about the gala, and that Gordon is not going to the gala. He's not going, and that's sad. And they don't know why he's not going. And he tries to.
And that's sad.
Yeah. It's like, I do like the fact that Averman calls him out for having a bigger head after coaching college hockey, which cracked me up. Like, that is such a funny line that Averman can only get away with. Only he can get away with a line like that. So we have this. And, actually, we just got to the line where Charlie actually said he said it's not like you've been showing up for us lately. That is the line from Charlie. I don't even know what the hell that means.
Just
to get Charlie out of the episode.
Apparently it's going to get into like Gordon and his mom had a relationship that fell apart or something like that. I don't know, but
yeah,
I thought we already dealt with that, but apparently not.
Well, it was forgotten about in the second movie completely, and then kind of reminded us in the third movie. Like, it was completely forgotten about in the second movie.
I was totally willing to give it a pass on. He went away, and it wasn't the same when he came back. That happens.
Right. So we have, we're just jump right ahead to the gala, because gala is weird and crazy and over the top. Like, what is this gala? This, my prom wasn't this over the top. Like, this is so ridiculous. Like, what? How is this a gala for a hockey team? Like, what is this?
And yet there are only like 10 people there at any given time.
social distancing. No, funny part is this whole cast is in a bubble. That's the only reason we can do this episode the way we're doing it.
There we go. the gala had definitely one of my favorite lines and possibly two of my favorite lines.
Go for it. Share them.
So I really loved favorite line, hands down. Evan comes in and he does this big speech how he's not going to be a duck. And then he says, I'll see you at States. And he goes, I mean, probably not. The best, where it's like, yeah, that's exact. You want to like the children's hockey or the children's sports movie showdown is I'll see you at the World Series. And then I love that Evan is at least self-aware enough to be like, I mean, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. It's
whatever.
That'd be fantastic.
And then he just walks away.
Yeah, and I do also like the fact that Evan's not a duck. I'm not doing this anymore. Die. I'm done.
Yeah. And then I loved his mom being like, he made the right choice. He did the right thing. And then she's like, you don't care about any of this.
Not at all. by the way, I like the fact that Evan ran into the ducks and Evan knows who they are. And he followed them. And I like the fact that they're like, I Googled you guys. I Googled you.
Yeah.
But he knows who they are. And that's cool. And Averman's like, oh my gosh, we have fans. We still have fans.
That actually reminded me of Movies by Minutes podcasting. That little moment really, really hit close to home.
A little bit. Tiny bit. Yeah, it's definitely one of those like So I do like the fact that he talks to them and pretty much says, this is how it is, and go find Gordon. The fact that they show up and they reverse course and they're driving the limo onto the ice to find Gordon might be one of my favorite moments of the entire thing. Like,
it was amazing.
Like, I should have saw it coming, but I didn't. Like, I should have.
I totally saw it coming that Averman was the limo driver. But for some reason, it still delighted me.
Yes, it works. It works really, really well. So they get him to come to the gala and give him his moment. But the moment that it was really cool to get him to have this moment, and he gives his speech and it's all good. What I did not expect is the ending of this episode. This ending of this episode gave me chills. And I'm watching the episode and I'm freaking out. Because not only are we getting the Ducks on the ice, and not only are they in the original D5 jerseys, the original jerseys, not the Ducks logo, it's the original D5 jerseys. Not only are we doing that, but I don't know if you caught this, but the music in the background is the original Mighty Ducks suite.
Oh,
that's what got me. Like, that is the music for the Mighty Ducks playing in the background. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was fantastic to hear. Like, I literally was getting chills and I was freaking out when the music started. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the music. So
it was so good. It just, again, it made me frustrated. Like, none of these people have come to like watch the Mighty Ducks play in a state championship.
No,
they have jerseys. Those jerseys from when they were kids would not fit them.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I do want to, by the way, shout out to Mandy, who 10 days before this episode aired, got me the D5 green Ducks jersey for my birthday.
Nice.
Right before this episode aired, not even knowing that this scene was in here. Like, not having a clue. She just got it because she knew I would love it. And I've been doing this show for 3 years. And she got it for me. And I actually just wore it last week, actually, because it was a little chilly. Had I put my jersey on. But it's a fantastic jersey. And the fact she found it in my size is even more impressive. But, like, it was before this. We knew that they were doing this scene. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have that jersey upstairs. I have that jersey.
Aww. my only hockey jersey that I still have is from UConn, which is where I went to undergrad. I did not play hockey there, but I went to a bunch of games, and it's not even like the real jersey, it's the printed on one. It was in the co-op in the sales section, whatever, and I still wear it because they are like perfectly warm. Like, I live up in New England, and there are days where like you don't need your winter coat. But throwing a hockey jersey on over a shirt really makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And so I bought it at the co-op when I was in college. And what would it have been? Maybe 2011, 2012. I was walking down the sidewalk in Boston and someone goes, oh, my God, like, your jersey is so cool. And I'm like, ah, thanks. He goes, where did you get a vintage jersey like that? And I'm like, shut up.
Oh my gosh.
I am not old.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't believe he was like, a vintage jersey. My goodness. I'm like, it was 2006. Live in the now.
Well, it's funny because I have double jerseys, obviously, in my closet. But like, my three main hockey jerseys are, two of them were bought to me by Mandy. One of them is a double jersey with my name on it.
Which nice. Is awesome.
One of them is the Ducks jersey that she just got me. And then I also have a 1980 USA Olympic jersey.
Nice.
Upstairs. No name on it, but it's the old 1980 USA Olympic logo on it. The old USA logo. That's upstairs that I've had since 2002.
Mm.
I got that then. They were doing a big sale during the 2002 Olympics. And I picked it up then. And I've had it ever since. So, by the way, if you go to the Instagram page for the D5, you can see I had the selfie that was taken at the end of this episode. We had the picture up on the Yay. D5 page. So, that selfie was amazing. And I knew immediately when I was taken, I'm like, where's that picture? Where is it? I need that picture, like, now. Like, I need it.
I need my selfie.
I need it. So, that was really, really cool to have that moment. But also, you needed to have some kind of a to be continued. So, this is where we find out that they have the video online of Evan skating with the Ducks, which is like, okay, we needed something. I almost feel like they were forced to give us something at the end of the episode because it was too good of an ending. Like, it was too good, and we needed something to like spice things up for the next couple episodes because there was really no like anything negative going on. You needed something.
Well, you get Gordon coming on as assistant coach.
Yes, that's cool. But like,
so,
this
happened. I don't know.
That's how
it also could have been like one of the Ducks says, you know, thanks for getting Gordon to the gal or something like that. And they're like, wait, why were you at the Ducks gal? You know, like.
That would be a way of doing it. But no.
There were other ways of doing it. I get.
It in, like, the 2021 way of doing things, which is the, oh, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was on Instagram. Sorry. I was just reminded it was on Instagram, which is even more ridiculous than it was on Instagram. By the way, a crystal clear quality, like 4K video on Instagram, which is hysterical to me. That was funny. Like, it's almost like they filmed it with the film cameras from this episode, from the show.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, so that is that. That is our episode, and that is this show. Tyranny, kind of say, you're amazing. I mean, on the show, every single time I come on, this is literally the fifth time we've done this show.
I am so good at talking about hockey. I am not good at playing hockey.
Oh my God. It's not that big of a deal. Neither am I. Thank you so much
for doing this podcast.
Well, I will say right now, I promoted this at the end of the season finale when I had Mandy on at the season finale, but this is the official last episode of D5. We're done. I'm moving on to another project. Let me plug this for the MMX audience and people that will be watching this part of XX at Home, coming in February, officially as of now. The Entertainment Apex, a show that I launched a few years back as an interview show. I have rebranded it, and it is now an MMX show. And my first movie will be Miracle. It'll be coming out for the Olympics in February. And I know, Tyranny, you said you're coming on that show. And as a matter of fact, as of this recording, every single episode has at least one person on it already as of this episode recording.
Congrats!
The show is booked, and I'm getting more people coming on still. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. So subscribe to the Entertainment Apex right now. And if you subscribe right now, you can actually get all the episodes of No Days But Today, the podcast where I talked about Rent. You can listen to that right now over on Entertainment Apex. So that is that. Let's get out of here. Tyranny, get your plugs in. Go for it.
Ah, all right. I'm wearing a Dewey Weber surfboards t-shirt because summer 2021, we're releasing American Graffiti one song at a time. So almost movies by minutes, but not quite. We're in the realm though. That's been just an absolute ton of fun. It's part of VCR Privileges, a series I do where every summer we talk about a quote summer movie. Very different from visiting you here in hockey and Minnesota land. If you go to social media. Oh my God. They should take my phone away from me. You can follow a bunch of different shows and stuff I'm doing and links to guest spots like this one.
Yes. I believe the term, by the way, you're looking for is something that was coined over at the MMX hub. It is the MMX adjacent podcast. That is the word you're looking for. That is the tone for shows like the VCR Privileges and the Entertainment Apex. That would be MMX adjacent. So as for everybody listening, I hope you are having fun with the MMX at home. Like I said, hopefully next year we're in Philly hanging out. I hope so. I really do. I really want to see everybody in person next year.
Maybe we'll go to a hockey game. Just saying.
We'll see what happens.
I can yell at the Flyers in person. It'd be very exciting.
Thank you so much, Tyranny. This was a blast. As always.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, before I forget, also, my own thing I've mentioned, listen to the Blickus House show every single Friday. When people are hearing this as part of MX at Home, we are getting ready for AEW All Out, which is one of the biggest shows of the year for all the wrestling. So go over there, join some wrestling talk. We always have a lot of fun over there. And like, I believe this week, if I know my calendar, right? If the calendar lines up, right? John Parker from Batman should be on the show. So he's like a regular on our show now. So it's awesome. All right, let me get out of here. Thank you, Tyranny, and thank you all for listening to the series finale and the special episode of D5, The Mighty Ducks. Have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.